Good morning to you. I have the privilege of being in staff meetings with all the staff, but in particular with Nathan and Andy in this past season. And I've told them this before in various ways, but they have just been so amazing in handling and caring and wrestling and listening. And so I just want to honor you guys, Nathan and Andy, for all the reading and the prayer and the conversations and the listening and the speaking and writing. I know it maybe a little bit more than some of us here, what that has weighed on them. Not to say it hasn't weighed on anyone else, but just as our pastoral executive, they've carried a heavy, heavy load. So I honor you guys, and bless you guys. Andy and Nathan. So I think Andy had mentioned the word unenviable task of trying to preach after family business like that. So I guess I'm the one who has that unenviable task. And I had kind of hoped that it wouldn't feel tone deaf to preach about patience after the announcement. This is not with that as a context and a focus, although I do think God has some stuff to say to us about patience in that context, but also in the whole of our lives. It's also the summer series, and I have been watching so much World Cup. Has anybody else been watching the World Cup? I'm so happy that Germany exited at the group stage. And incidentally, if you are a follower of football, you'll know that Germany lost to Mexico. What was that?
Go Bombers!
Go Bombers is the entirely wrong sport. Football is a sport you actually play with your foot the majority of the time. But anyway, in that game, Germany and Mexico, apparently there was an earthquake in Mexico at the time of the game. Like, seismologists actually traced that there was a shock, like an earthquake, and they found out that it was at the exact same time that the Mexico goal went in. Like, millions of Mexicans jumped, this is absolutely true, jumped in tandem with one another and caused an earthquake. Like, how many millions of Mexicans does it take to cause an earthquake? I don't know, but it's true. And incidentally, at the same time that the World Cup is going on and all of this stuff, there's another football team. Some of you are probably aware of this in the news. In Thailand, there's 12 boys who 2 weeks ago got trapped in a cave with their coach. And actually, just this morning, I saw that six of them got taken out. This has been such an amazing story for both Jennifer and I to follow, and we've been praying for them and stuff. But actually, when I first heard this story, there was a few words that one of the boys said when the first two British divers showed up at the cave after about 9 or 10 days of no contact. These boys are 4 kilometers from the cave entrance, 1 kilometer down in the earth, in total darkness, no cell phone reception, definitely no Wi-Fi, no food, and two British divers decided to kind of traverse the caverns of this cave and get past where they thought they were, go a little further, and they're all 13 still alive, huddled on this little thing of land surrounded by water in the middle of the cave. And one of the boys, and this is true, who, because of his involvement in church activities, spoke English, and some of his first words were, "I'm so happy, thank you so much." And then the diver says, "There's many people coming." And this was his response, "Oh, see you tomorrow." And there was something about that just really touched my heart. And I thought, these boys are in this cave for 10 days. They finally have seen some life. And they tell the diver, "See you tomorrow." Like, is that not an amazing story of patience? I certainly wouldn't have said those words. "Oh, see you tomorrow." Man. And today, six of them are coming out, and Lord willing, the rest of them will come out in the next hours or days. And so today, we're talking about patience, but Christian patience in particular. And we're starting this as a sermon series for the summer. I'm sorry, we're starting this particular topic in a sermon series during the summer on the fruits of the Spirit. And the idea here is, how do you cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, it's totally by the grace and the presence and the power of the Spirit that anything of God's heart and personality manifests in our lives. Any of the 9 fruit that Paul lists in Galatians 5 are totally a work of God's grace and the kindness of His Spirit to produce that in our lives. And yet the question we're holding during this series is, yeah, but how can we also partner with the Holy Spirit, not resist His work, not resist the seeds that He's planting and wanting to water and bring to fruition? How do we actually work together to cultivate lives that will produce the goodness of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? How do we, in a weird way, be like the little boy in the cave who, when he's rescued, 10 days after his response is, "See you tomorrow." How do we become people who are so working together with the Holy Spirit that the fruit comes out beautifully and naturally? And one thing quickly about fruit before we jump in here, in Galatians 5, and you can look that passage up, that's one of Paul's lists of the fruit. The word fruit is singular. It's not as if there are 9 different fruits that he's talking about. It's one overarching fruit, which many scholars say is love. It's divine love. And what divine love looks like is patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and the others. It's like Indian mangoes and Filipino mangoes. My wife is in agreement about that, yeah. One mango, many different varieties. One fruit, many different, you know, manifestations. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a passage in which Paul writes about God's perfect patience. His perfect patience. And what I'd like to do to set this up as we jump into the scripture is to say that Christian patience, and I mean the kind of patience that Jesus Christ has and therefore displays, has about 3 different things going on. And I think you'll find that these are relevant in our own lives too. The first is that patience at its heart is some kind of desire. There's something that you want. And in the case of Jesus, it's a rightly ordered desire. God never wants anything that's wrong. He never wants anything that's disordered. And so in order to exhibit patience, in order to possess patience, the first ingredient is desire. But in God's case, it's a right desire. Second is an experience of delay. There's something that you want, and yet you are waiting for it. And finally, in the midst of the desire that's right, that's unfulfilled because of delay, there is a sense of willingness to wait and calm, comma, without frustration, without anger. God's patience, Christian patience, is calm willingness to wait in the midst of an unfulfilled right desire. And we'll see this at work in this passage today. So this is from 1 Timothy 1:12 to 16. And this is Paul writing. "I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life." So there are 3 things here that Paul is referencing about his past, about his own life, about his previous life, to the radical intervention of Jesus on the road to Damascus. And these three things are that he was once formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent. So a blasphemer is somebody who takes spiritual realities and inverts them. One of the prime works of God, Jesus says, was for people to believe that he was the one that God sent, to believe in the one that the Father sent into the world. Persecutor literally means one who hunts down. And Paul used to enter the houses of Christians, ravage them, and drag away men and women to court. By the way, that still happens in many countries in the world today. And Paul was a chief persecutor. He was first mentioned when the apostle Stephen was getting stoned. That's the introduction we have to Paul, that he was standing on the side, approving of what was being done to Stephen. Can you imagine standing there and feeling elated and pleased that somebody was getting stoned to death for the name of Jesus? That's Paul, a persecutor. And lastly, an insolent opponent. And this is a weird one. It's somebody who takes pleasure in pain and evil that others experience so that the other people feel a sense of shame. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling almost a joy that they would feel that. That's what the connotation of insolent opponent means. And so Paul is basically saying, this is who I was before Jesus showed up in my life. And the reason I am saying this today is because these are so opposed to God's desires for any of us, let alone for Paul. God would have loved Paul to believe in Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God. He would have loved Paul to, at least if you're not going to believe, do good to people, especially those in the group of believers. And he certainly would have loved that Paul take no pleasure in evil, not rejoicing in evil, like he will later write, but rejoicing in truth. Paul's life is in stark opposition to the right desires of God. Does that make sense? Paul's life is careening away from what God would have desired for his life or for any of our lives. And yet, God would be entirely justified to bring judgment, to bring punishment, to bring anger, to bring disqualification to Paul for all of the stuff that he's living out in his life. That's it, Paul. I may not punish you, but at least I'm not going to call you. I may not be angry with you, but I'm just going to ignore you. He would have the right, like the woman who was caught in adultery, he's the only one without sin who can therefore stone someone. That's Jesus. He would be entirely right to do whatever he wanted with Paul because Paul was in stark opposition to the desire in the heart of God, the law of God. But look at this. Instead of all of that, this is what God does. And you'll notice that Paul describes three things that he was. Well, there are six things that God is doing here. That's kind of fun math. I don't know if they planned it that way. But this is God's response to the blaspheming, persecuting, insolent opponent that was Paul. He judged me faithful. He appointed me to his service. Verse 13 and 16, I received mercy. Verse 14, grace overflowed for me with faith and love. And finally, Christ Jesus came in to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Instead of God being frustrated, angry, or punishing Paul, because Paul was delaying God's right and ordered desire that he live a certain way, God actually blesses Paul. That's why his patience is perfect. It means that there is not one part of God's heart that is impatient. Each and every vein of God's heart, each and every capillary and cell and atom that's pulsing away in the heart of God is quietly pulsing with patience. There is not one sphere in the personality of God that is impatient. And he does what he does with Paul to be a kind of sketch or an outline to show all of us who maybe have not been blasphemers, persecutors, and insolent opponents what magnitude of patience God has. We see who God is in how he relates to Paul. Paul is the example, the display of God's perfect patience. So, that being said, and it's a summer series, by the way, so I'm on my last slide, and this is the wrap-up. And it's not because there's any World Cup today. We have a few days of respite before the semifinals, France and Belgium. France will win, Croatia and England. Croatia will win. The final will be France and Croatia, and I think France is going to win. That just came out like I didn't even have to think about it. It's just the fullness of my heart is where my mouth is speaking from right now. By the way, if you want to see the best goal of the tournament, Lionel Messi against Nigeria, he gets it on his thigh, then he knocks it forward with his shin and shoots it with his right foot. He's actually left-footed. Sadly, it was his only game. People hope that because he's the best player in the world. That's totally true. Don't anyone tell me that Cristiano Ronaldo is the best player. He's going to Juventus anyway, so long and farewell from the Spanish league. But anyway, the best goal was Lionel Messi, and now I'm going to talk about patience because you're running out of it for me. So, cultivating patience. Was that clever? Did you like that? Okay. Tuesday at the King's Head Pub for the France-Belgium game for any of you who would like to join. All right. So I have a few practical things. I actually don't really like giving the application to sermons. There are reasons for that. You can talk to me about that later. But in this case, because the series is about cultivating the fruits of the Spirit, I thought these might be a few helpful ones that I'm trying to internalize and live out, and that maybe you will as well. Incidentally, if ever a sermon testifies against you, this sermon this week has revealed inordinate amounts of impatience that I have. But I share that with you in common, and so we rejoice together in the brokenness of our patience. Cultivating patience, I would suggest that first, spend time contemplating what it means that God displayed perfect patience with Paul. Many of us, we read the scripture like an ancient textbook, and we don't realize these were real people and that the word can still living and breathing speak to us today. It's God's voice to us today. And Paul himself is saying, I am an example of the display of God's patience. What would it be like to spend time meditating on who Paul was and who God was? And how about if that's not really your cup of tea, think about your own life. Where have you been in opposition to God's right desires for your life? Where has God had to wait on you? And do you know that he has done that without any frustration or anger? He's waited for us our whole lives. Contemplate. The second is a very practical thing. I said that part of patience is having a right desire, or in most of our cases, semi-right or sometimes wrong desires. And so the second practical suggestion I'll give you is to discern the orderliness of your desires. If there's something that you feel you must have, and it's producing the fruit of impatience in your life, take some time to discern if what you think you must have is actually what God believes you must have. Many times we want things so desperately, and we want them right now, and that's not in line with what God wants. In fact, think about driving. When I was thinking about patience, a surprising number of people swore at me in the car. I don't know if that was just to help me use them in this sermon as an illustration, but driving is like an amazing context for patience, isn't it? Think about how right your desires are that are producing impatience in you as you drive. Third, delay your timeline. I must have this now. Now our whole world will push against this. Everything in society leads you to believe that you must have everything now. That delay that waiting is something for the birds. And actually, one practical thing might be, if you want something, and if you even feel that it's the right desire, like God wants it too, can you let go of your timeline? Can you actually delay and say, Lord, whenever you want. I thought I should get this today, but maybe next week, maybe a year, maybe 10 years, and here's the kicker, maybe not in my lifetime. Lord, whatever time you want is what I want. I have said that to God about a few things. When Jennifer and I were waiting to have our little daughter, stage right, who's playing, we had to wait what seemed like an eternity, and there came a point in the delay where I said to God, Lord, if this is never to happen for us, your will be done. And the amazing thing about delay, you know, we sing about this, that waiting on God somehow produces strength, right? You'll rise up on the wings of an eagle, and I can say for sure that's true. I realized that I wanted Jennifer to have a baby more than I wanted myself to have a baby, and I really wanted to have a baby. My prayer at the end was, Lord, I don't care. Just give her a baby. Like, this is what she wants. It produced a strength of love for my wife as I had to wait that I would have never experienced had I received it like that. And it also produced a strength of surrender. Lord, this is what I think I want. This is what I believe you want, but I give it to you. Delay the timeline. And last, and it's so simple, but it's so amazing how we never hardly do this, is to simply ask God. We don't receive sometimes because we don't ask. If you notice that you're always flipping the bird when you're driving, wow, I really saw a lot of people look like, oh, that's not me. If you're finding that there's a pattern of impatience in your life that you can't seem to uncork yourself from, ask him for patience. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is not meant to be human production and effort will make me more patient. No, no, no. Part of the working together to cultivate this fruit with God's Spirit is to recognize I cannot grow this on my own. I need your grace. It's like what Jocelyn was praying for us this morning. I think she used the word override. I do not have this in and of my own makeup. So would you please grant me patience? You who has perfect patience, could you deposit some of that into my heart and life? The fruit that I cannot bear. Could you please grow this in my life? And he may use some delay and unfulfilled desire to do that, but it's always going to be perfect. Perfect patience, perfect Father. So would you stand with me as we close here our time? I want to invite you to consider where are you in your journey of patience? Is there something that you want or don't want? Is there something that you are waiting for? And what's your level of anger and frustration in the unfulfilled desire that you're waiting for? I want to invite you first to consider Jesus' perfect patience for you, even in your impatience. He's not frustrated. He's not angry. He's not tisking. Perfect patience for you. So wherever you are and whatever your journey, if you feel stirred to ask or to somehow to receive God's patience afresh for you this morning, I want to invite you to open your hands. And in the name of Jesus, I bless you, friends, to receive grace overflowing. Mercy. That you be judged faithful. Let the perfect patience of Christ fill your heart, fill your life. Spirit of God, would you pour in your own patience? Some of you, I feel God wants to say, I'm waiting with you, as in your desires are right. I'm aware of the delay. I'm waiting with you. Don't think, I feel he would say, don't think that your waiting signals that this is not my desire. I pray for anyone who's waiting for children, whether it's biological or adoption or fostering or whatever the case may be, any gift that Jennifer and I received, we happily give and bless all of you who are waiting in those ways. May the Lord grant your desire. What we've received freely, we freely give. Just sense that the Spirit is moving upon some of you, it's touching you. Some of you can feel that physically, some of you feel it emotionally. You just sense that there's some weight going on here. It's the presence of God. If that's you, just keep your hands open, and I want to invite those of you whose hands are not open, if you would be so kind as to take a look and just see whose hands are open, who's responding to the work of the Spirit this morning. And if you could, just go up to them, put your hand on them, ask them what you could pray for them for, and bless what the Father is pouring into these people today. Can we do that? Just take a look around if your hands are closed and see who's opening their hands this morning. Lord, we ask that the gifts of your Spirit would be poured out today. Gifts of prophecy, gifts of discernment, gifts of knowledge. All the good gifts that build us up and strengthen us, and that those who are responding to you today would hear your heart and experience your life this morning.